Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one podcast for all things geek and gaming. What a show we got for you guys. What a show. And I would not be sharing this show with nobody else besides my very best friend, Emma Skies. How you doing, Emma?
Ooh, you know that awkward moment when like somebody says that you're their best friend, but you know that they're not your best friend, and then you just really don't know how to like respond in that situation?
I could not.
That's not what's happening here. That's not what's happening here at all.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never experienced anything similar to that before. How are you? I'm surprised you're here. Again, I woke up in the morning and saw Instagram stories from late last night from you not going to bed and instead watching television shows. How's that working out for you?
Really great. Really great. I'm very tired. Last night was a special occasion, though, because Umbrella Academy Season 2 released at midnight.
Okay, that's the show?
Yeah. And then I watched the whole thing.
That's not sad or anything, but we will talk.
It's fun, okay? It's fun. I have a fun time. I'm having a great time, Corey.
We will talk.
You sure sound like it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Also joining us on the show, he runs the social media for us. He's our social media manager on the Facebook. He's grown quite a reputation for himself, even dabbling in his own original dank memes in the last few weeks. Jake, how you doing, Jake?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Good. I saw you threw out some original memes. You're getting into the meme game yourself. You know, were you just inspired? What got into you?
I dabble. You know, just when inspiration hits, you gotta act, you know.
So you probably know the VGB Facebook gang better than anybody. What kind of stuff do they like? What do they get into?
A little bit of everything, honestly.
You don't put some things out and you're like, oh, I can't post about that. Like, because Emma scared off a majority of our PlayStation audience or anything?
I think they like stuff that they can relate to. Not really much big article readers. I post articles and nothing doesn't get anything, so
yeah.
Don't do that. You gotta stick with the memes. Give the people what they want.
Everybody.
Come on.
Nobody reads Emma.
If you listen to this podcast on a consistent basis, I would wager you don't do too much reading. I mean, maybe some comic books, but no.
How are you gonna like insult the viewers like that?
That's not an insult. I think reading is a giant waste of time. Like, imagine if you did jujitsu. You know, you could do jujitsu, and a year or two later, you're a badass jujitsu person. If you just read, like, it's just a time suck. It's a waste.
I hate you so much. Pick up a book.
And then rounding out our panel, I believe in high fidelity audio for both the Twitch stream and the podcast, my man on the ones and twos, Curtis. How you doing, man?
Cutting it up, man. Cutting it up hard, bro. Honestly, hey, NBA is back. I got my NBA 2K League shirt on, but this has been holding me down while the NBA has been going on, but it's been incredible. No COVID cases inside of the bubble out there in Disney World, Florida, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I just knocked on a bunch of wood and probably messed up that high quality audio Corey was out. But my Kings lost today. I'm not going to talk about that, but I will talk about how my Kings guard, our Kings guard, who Corey almost ran into physically.
Almost brushed shoulders, yeah.
Oh, almost brushed the shoulder. That's the dirt off the shoulder. This is the brushing. The Kings guard have clinched a playoff spot in the NBA 2K League, so we will be in the postseason seasons in a row after missing it the first year of the NBA 2K League. So I'm excited about that. And shout out to my man Youssef, who had a 26-point and 26-rebound game, making history, first time in the NBA 2K League. He's just incredible, and I'm sure here soon we'll be able to interview him and get him on the show. So if you want to know what it's like to be a pro NBA 2K League player, make sure that you're tuning into our Twitch streams and listening to the podcast in the near future.
So it's an actual bubble, because I saw on Twitter people refer to this NBA bubble, but it's actually fully contained. All the players get tested regularly. They're all, no matter what city, the Kings, everybody, they're in one. They're in Disney World, of all places, and there's been zero cases. Unlike, isn't it, is it the MLS or soccer who tried to like keep going and they had like some crazy outbreak?
MLS had some cases, and it actually stopped a Sacramento Republic game a few days ago because there were some players that had played in a game that I tested positive. So that stopped the Sacramento Republic game, but it's the MLB who continues to have multiple cases on a team. I forgot which team it was, but they had like up to 12 or 15 cases, which just came out yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm. I heard about that.
And you heard about it too, Jake? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the executive straight up said, I mean, the commissioner of the MLB said, if basically, since we're not in a bubble, if players aren't self-quarantining and isolating and practicing social distancing and these cases keep going, we're going to be forced to shut down the whole season, and then people are going to stop getting paid.
They're even talking about canceling the NFL season now because of it.
Right. So major sports teams, get a bubble like the NBA, keep COVID out and in the heart of Florida, and then maybe we can all enjoy our sports again.
It's unbelievable that the NBA has been able to pull that off. If any league could, that's who it would be. Very good to hear. Emma Skies. So last week I had mentioned I was playing Far Cry 5, and there was a part in the game you wanted to ask me about. I have since completed the game out of 5 stars. Definitely solid 4, 4.5. Great game. If you have not played it yet, it's on sale on the Epic Game Store for less than $10. Like, I felt guilty playing this fucking game because it was only $8. And this is a full-fledged, like, amazingly beautiful, in-depth, mechanically smooth video game. But there was a part you wanted to ask me about, and now I'm free for questions.
I mostly just wanted to get your take on the end of the game. So first of all, which ending did you get? What did you do?
I resisted.
Okay. So you got the same ending I got, which, yeah. What did you think?
I felt sad. That was the thing about this game. Like, you are fighting and so, I mean, this game is well past the spoiler part. So, you know, we won't just jump all over your spoiler dreams, but the premise of the game is...
This game came out like 2 years ago.
And you're an evil person.
By the way, I haven't finished the game yet, so I'm right there with you guys.
All right, we'll say earmuffs if we think we're going to say something to ruin it for you. But at this point...
I'm ready.
All the other four Far Cry games, this one takes place in the United States, like some backwater hillbilly cult has taken over this spot, like where there's no rules, there's no jurisdiction. You get dropped in there and you end up being a part of this resistance to take it out. The giant map is split into 3 different categories with 3 different like leaders of this cult, and you achieve different like accolades and complete story missions to get to the boss fights, I guess, of each one, and then it all culminates in the main guy. And that was probably what kept it from that 5 out of 5 for me, was that your actions for the whole game don't really take place into the ending until you get there. And then you just make one solid decision to give you one of the 2 endings. I did choose to resist, and it was a very, very sad ending that left me feeling very, very empty. What did you feel from that ending, Emma?
I was so mad because the thing that I hate most, and Jake, you're going to want to not hear this if you don't want to hear the ending of the game.
Earmuffs, Jake.
We'll signal when you can put your headphones back on. But the thing that I don't like in a game, and I get that it's, you know, a lot of people will say, it's, oh, it's part of the, you know, that's just how life is. It's how real life is. I don't like getting to the end of the game and finding out that I just spent the last 30 hours doing a bunch of shit that doesn't matter because the fucking world is over.
Yeah, so like we said, no spoilers. Sorry, keep your earmuffs on, Jake. The end of it is this cult leader somehow managed to get his hands on nuclear weapons, and he ends up nuking our own country of the United States of America. So, like, as you're finally going to this big climactic moment to apprehend him, he, like, basically pulls out a little detonator, clicks it, and you just see a mushroom cloud, which, like, that ending sequence, though, where you get into the car and you gotta, like, rush to safety from the mushroom cloud, was probably one of the most beautiful things and the most, like, frantically paced I felt since, what was it, Halo 2 or Halo 3, where you have to do the warthog thing at the end?
Yeah, 1 and 3 both had warthog sections at the end.
Yeah, it felt like that. Like, I was like, oh my god, and then the flashes, and then the, you know, deer, like, running out and getting hit. Like, it was an incredibly beautiful, like, very cinematic way to end it. But yeah, you do feel like, I don't know.
There was no point for anything you did, because the fucking whole world is going to end now, because that's how fucking nukes work. We're, you know, mutually assured destruction bullshit. They're not just going to assume that it was, you know, some hillbilly in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, it's just, I was so mad. I was so mad.
So I got to give them props. I thought, I wasn't expecting that to be what you asked me. I thought you were going to ask another question, because there's a guy named Jacob Seed in there who, like, hypnotizes you. And,
yes,
you know, in the game, he captures you probably three or four times while you're working on his part of the map. And he makes you do, like, this training drill where it's like a timed thing. You pick up this gun, cap a few guys, go to the next room, swap guns, and it's all timed, and you get points and stuff. And then you get to the end, and you do it like 3 or 4 times. And I was getting good at it, and I kept trying to beat my times, and I was really into it. Do you know where I'm going, Emma?
No, because I played this game 2 years ago. Okay. I can't remember exactly how this happens.
So he's, like, grooming you to know this thing, and then at the very end, you kill this guy who's, like, a dummy. He's the only person in the game who has, like, no features. And in the climax, when you're actually going against him, you find yourself in that same situation, but it's real this time, and you get to the end and you shoot the dude, and it ends up being your buddy, like, your friend.
That's right. Yeah.
And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Like, when I got to there, and I ended up, like, seeing it last second as I'm clicking on it, and I murder my homeboy, and it devastated me that I'd actually let the game hypnotize me into doing what it wanted me to. I felt like such a mark. Did you
get fucking wrecked?
Did you kill that guy too?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
I felt so much better about myself, though, because I went back on YouTube, because I was wondering, like, God, that one choice haunted me for my whole playthrough. And I kept thinking to myself, could it have been different? Like, what if I didn't kill him? No, unfortunately, like, when you get to that part and you don't kill him, you just lose the mission. So
do you know what the other ending is? Did you look that up?
I did. I looked up the other ending too, and it was also pretty unfulfilling.
It's also terrible.
Yeah.
It's also terrible. Like, this game is so upsetting. How are you not going to have one ending where, like, obviously you don't need a happy ending for everything, but, like, at least something where you feel like you've spent the last 30 plus hours doing something worthwhile.
I think it may be worth it if you get to New Dawn. Have you seen anything about that game?
I have not yet. And I was really happy that they did a follow-up, because Far Cry, for those of you that don't play it, Far Cry, each installment is its own story. Like, they don't do sequels. They don't do none of that.
Yeah.
So when New Dawn was announced, I was really excited, because I hated the ending of 5 so much that I was like, there has to be a reason. Like, this has to come to something. So then they announced New Dawn, which is a direct follow-up to 5 that I still have not played.
So it takes place 15 years after Apocalypse. So it is a post-apocalyptic... it's in the same map of Hope County, and it's the people who came out of the bunker are able to come out now. So, and you're playing in the same environment in just 15 years after a nuclear holocaust. So how the fuck are they
alive outside where a nuke hit only 15 years after the fact?
I want to quote the great video game podcaster Emma Skies last week when she said, you have to suspend your disbelief.
There are limits.
You have to
I have questions.
They said something about the plants came and absorbed the nuclear. It doesn't matter. You're in the nuclear apocalypse.
All right.
It's fine. Just play the game.
Granite in the mountains absorbed the radiation. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I guess. Because all those, like, I mean, we already have an understanding that there's something off about these plants because they fucking used them to brainwash everybody. So clearly they're not just your normal flowers.
Yeah. Exactly.
I remember because I played it on stream and there were a couple people that were like, they were like, I can't get this yet, but I'm going to get it after, once I have a chance to or once I get paid. And then they watched me do the ending and they were like, I'm not buying this game.
No way.
Yeah, it was upsetting. There was like, you just did all of that for nothing. The world still ended. What?
Well, you have to try for yourself. New Dawn is also, it's what's weird is that Far Cry 5 is for sale for like $8. And then New Dawn, which is kind of an expansion, like it didn't come out as a full price game. It came out as like a $40 game, but that one's still $9. But still, like I bought it just
a whole $9.
Exactly why, me being the penny pincher, I was still like, this is a great bargain based off of that deal I got on Far Cry 5. So worth every penny. I can't wait to play more. And then now I'm really, really, really excited for 6. I think 6 is going to be the best.
Have you seen Chorizo, the dog with the wheelchair?
No.
Oh, he's some sort of companion in 6. Oh, speaking of companions, who did you use most often in Far Cry 5? Because there's, for those of you that haven't played it, you have like animal companions you can have. Yeah. And there's a dog, just a regular dog. His name is Boomer. There's a bear named Cheeseburger that you can have as your companion. And then I forget what the cougar's name was.
Wasn't it Bells or something like that? Or something?
I cannot remember. It's been so long. But who did you use the most?
Cheeseburger.
Oh, that is the right answer.
I wanted him to get a lot of walking, because of his diabetes.
Play this game, everybody. It's actually
it's so good. It's well written. Like it's GTA first person shooter. If like that's what it was intended to be. Like it's like I played GTA first person and it was like kind of sucky, but this one, it's so smooth. Gratifying to get the headshots. You know, we talk about bullet sponges a lot on the game.
Yeah.
Like if you dome a guy, like he's down with a pistol. Like it's just how the game works. And so, if you're playing for accuracy and really trying to like aim and get skill shots, it's so gratifying to like cap a guy from 100 yards with a pistol and watch him just drop. That sounds very, very morbid. And that's what video games do to you, I guess, to a degree. But man, it's a beautiful game. I want to talk about one more beautiful game before we move on to the news. Grounded, the game from Obsidian, released this last week in a beta, free if you have the Xbox Games Pass, which is very cool. I recommend everybody pick that up. I actually just upgraded. I used to just have the PC version, and I did that $1 upgrade to get Games Pass Ultimate because, honestly, that's the future of video games. Like, what do you think about the deal or the future of Microsoft with the Games Pass, Emma?
Oh, I'm so excited. Game Pass is how everything should be working. That thing is incredible. Game Pass Ultimate it bundles Xbox Live Gold, Game Pass, and Game Pass for the PC. So you get all of them for like, I think it's $15 a month.
Yeah.
What I had ended up doing was they had that special when they first announced it where you could upgrade for $1. Like you could upgrade your regular Xbox Live account. So I stocked up on 3 years of Xbox Live and then upgraded the whole thing for $1.
Yeah. That was a little exploit that they were like okay with. They knew full well that was there, and I'm so pissed I did not do that. So I'm a sucker. I am going to go month to month, though, and I still don't think you can be a sucker if you have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, especially knowing in November they're launching the xCloud, which is going to be that's the future. It boggles my mind that they're even trying to promote a new console when you're sitting on something as awesome as the xCloud, because if the xCloud works out to what its capabilities are and what the Stadia should have been, there'll be no need for consoles in the future. Like they'll sell you a little Fire Stick thing and call it the Xbox Fire Stick, and you plug that thing in your TV, especially with 5G, you're not even going to need Ethernet. Like that's the future, people. The future.
You can keep your 5G. I don't want to get coronavirus. You think I am? Suckers.
But anyways, Grounded came out. Emma, what were your thoughts? How far did you get? How many hours have you logged into this? What are your thoughts?
I played for maybe 5 or 6 hours. It was a lot of fun. It's very, it's like your survival crafting kind of game. So it's got a Minecraft feel to it. I haven't played them, but there were people in chat comparing it to both The Forest and Ark. It was like Ark without dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So kind of your standard, you know, survival game. But it was it's got a really cute aesthetic. The enemies are okay. The enemies are really hard in the beginning until you start to kind of level some stuff up. And I still can't deal with spiders after 6 hours. Could not deal with them.
I thought it was a little over the top how they put that big statement at the beginning of the game for people with arachnophobia, and you could control
that was so
the slider.
Fucking cool.
How is that cool? I mean, people just need
that was so fucking cool.
They don't coddle people, man.
What does it do to you? What does it do to you as a player?
It disrupted my flow of getting into the game.
It does absolutely nothing negative to you. So for people that don't know what we're talking about, the second that you boot up Grounded, in the game, there are giant spiders because they're regular, but you are tiny, so everything around you is enormous.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kid style.
Yeah. So when you boot up the game, it tells you there's an arachnophobia mode, and if you're afraid of spiders and you just can't see them, but you still want to play this game, you still want to have a fun time. There's a slider that goes 0 to 100, and you can give them less legs, and then it takes away all their legs, and then it takes away the coloring, and then it kind of takes away different spider-like features, so you can still play this game. That is the coolest shit. That is so... Can you imagine? But you're shaking your head this is stupid, but again, what does it do negatively to you? Not a goddamn thing. But somebody who has an intense fear of spiders now gets to enjoy this game. It does nothing to you.
I'm all for accessibility in video games for things that are
legitimate. Anything anybody said before, but doesn't mean anything.
However, arachnophobia is not a real thing. Come on. Everybody's afraid of spiders to some degree. I think it was just annoying. They should bury that in the menu, put it out on the arachnophobia subreddit that it's there, but not throw it in my face, man. I'm not trying to... get caught.
I don't know how much of this is the Corey character where you just want to be negative about shit like this, but this kind of accessibility is actually really, really good. And we were just praising The Last of Us for being one of the most accessible games that we've ever seen. This is a really good thing.
Yeah. I mean, are there spiders in that game?
In Last of Us,
they did the best job. I think this is whatever. Okay.
Does it hurt you? Why is this a bad feature?
Does
it diminish your experience as a player at all?
I told you, I wasted time in the menus trying to figure things out. I got confused.
Now you press one button that says, no, I'm good, and then you go to the menu and you're fine.
It confused me. It threw me off the whole thing.
You know why? Because you don't fucking read.
Well, you know,
pick up a book. It will confuse you.
Once I got around that glaring issue of the game, it was quite fun. I'll give it that. It was a really fun game. You're right. It's a perfect mix of Ark, Minecraft, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, got a lot of personality, 4-player multiplayer, I believe, co-op.
Yes.
And it's just fun to explore. And I found myself really enjoying it. And a lot of people did because it was the number 2 game on Twitch for that day, had 90,000 concurrents, viewing that game. Which is way more than I think I would have anticipated. And this is the game that we talked about from the Xbox show where they did the comical trailer, right? Where they compared it to
Cyberpunk.
And I was saying bad marketing move. Well, fuck, I was way wrong because they hit that brown sound, baby. They blew it up. And I'm super excited because I love Obsidian. So the more W's they take, the more money that thing brings in, the bigger budget Outer Worlds we get. So that's how I see it. I think it was really fun. Emma, what are some tips that you wish you knew before you started for people who might be checking it out brand new this week?
Figure out armor, like early, very early. Jesus Christ, figure out armor.
I got one. Don't just walk up first thing and punch an ant.
Yeah, they will wreck you.
Their strength in numbers. Yeah, I walked up and punched an ant and pulled all the aggro from Fury from Hell. Great game. I highly recommend it. Free on the Xbox Games Pass, by the way.
That's how a free means I hate you.
So let's get into the news. Umbrella Academy Season 2 came out. Emma Skies, you did the legwork of binging it. What do you think? How do you rate it?
It was very, very good. If you liked the first season, I think you will like this season. I don't know that I would say it's better than season one, but I do think it's just as good. I think it's very much on par, which is very hard, I think, for a lot of shows to do when you have this sort of breakout hit first season that nobody was expecting, and then you have to live up to it. And I think they did it very well.
Curtis, this one is based off of comic books and things like that. Have you watched the first season? Any interest in this one? What can you add to this from a comic perspective?
Yeah, it was the first season was good. I'm in that unique situation where it was good, and the quality and everything of it was right up there, but I just didn't like it. It wasn't for me. If I was gonna go, I mean, it's very apparent that is it Gerard Way? Is that the name? Of the guy? Yeah, I knew Emma.
Wait, right now. Is that Joe Rogan's, Joe Rogan's cousin?
I hate you.
He is. Is that who it is?
No, I mean, it's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. But yeah, yes.
Oh, okay, just checking. Joe Rogan's cousin.
That guy that Joe Rogan was like, I'm pretty sure I'm related to this guy, and he was like, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, they're actually related, I think.
It's so weird.
Okay.
That's crazy. But yeah, I don't like, it just didn't appeal to me. Like, it was based off of the X-Men. I'd rather just read some X-Men comics or watch an X-Men movie. But they got such a, I mean, that's funny, cause what's her name? Was even in X-Men and played Kitty Pryde. Ellen Page. Yeah. Who's awesome. I love her. But, yeah, they had an incredible cast, and, the cinematography was really great. So, it is a show that I actually would still recommend to people. I just know I'm in a unique position to where it just didn't appeal to me, but all of the quality and everything was there. So, I mean, just based off of, you know, what Emma is saying, I could easily take her word for it that if they kept it at the level of last season, or if they even took it up, then it's a show worth tuning into, because the relationships are probably like the biggest draw and the biggest thing. And they do a really good job of with like the chemistry and the actors and stuff, making the complex relationships very, very compelling.
Dope. I'm on the fence on this one. Maybe I'll get around to it. I just started Doom Patrol. I feel like you can't be into too many of these shows at the same time. HBO Max on like the two devices it's available right now. I discovered that I could just watch them on my PC. For some reason, that escaped me, that you don't need like a device or something. If you have a computer or laptop, you can just go to hbomax.com. And I started watching Doom Patrol. First of all, why did nobody tell me Brendan Fraser was acting again? That one was a complete surprise.
We've been known about this. What's wrong with you?
I had no idea. The Mummy guy, he's back. And he plays, like, I forgot how great of an actor he is.
He didn't disappear because he was a bad actor. He got blacklisted.
Why?
Because he called out the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for sexually harassing him.
Wow.
And it destroyed his career.
That's news.
Like, for a long time. Yeah, that's why he wasn't in anything for a very long time. And then he got divorced, and like his wife got some crazy alimony, so he had no money. It was he has like the saddest story.
I heard about that.
Damn.
I didn't know he got sexually harassed.
He's a fine actor though. Fine actor. And I found, like, I've watched two things in the past couple days where anytime the male character has a daughter, I'm like 10 times more invested now. And so this one, like, basically had me in tears on episode one. It's just really, really good. I can't wait to dig into this one more. Then after that, Doom Patrol, Umbrella Academy. I think that'll be the play. I kind of want to talk about that because I made that hilarious Joe Rogan joke a few minutes ago. Did you guys catch what he had said about video games last week and how it just kind of sent everybody into an uproar?
That's always the time.
Yeah.
I just don't care about Joe Rogan.
Well, a lot of people do, Emma. And he said, quote, video games are a real problem. They're a real problem. You know why? Because they're fucking fun. They're addictive. I have a real problem with them. You do them. They're real exciting, but you don't get anywhere. Then he went on to compare it to his martial arts, where he says, you could be doing something exciting and fun, or you could just be playing fucking video games. 3 years later, you could just be that same kid, just playing video games, waiting for the next whatever the fuck game is, and you're going to waste your time. And a lot
of
people...
so stupid.
A lot of people were mad. Well, why is that so stupid, Emma?
That's just what hobbies are. That's just having a hobby. It's just what it is. I don't understand why he was like, you know, if it's not giving you something physically, if it's not giving you something monetarily, then it's not worth it. Like, calm the fuck down and let people have fun.
Jake?
I'm on the opinion that he's not wrong, but so what? I mean, yeah, I don't necessarily agree. Because there's different kinds of hobbies, all right? You know, like working on cars. Well, you're building, you're fixing, you're cleaning something, you know? Or like woodshop, you're building something. PCs, I'm more focused on hands-on because I'm a hands-on kind of guy. So those are my hobbies. So I don't do woodworking, but I'm just saying that as an example. But I mean, technically, he's right. It is a waste of time. You're not getting anything from it. But so what? Who cares? You're wasting your time. That's what you choose. It's your damn time. You do with it what you will, you know?
And I mean, you're just not getting anything physical from it.
What are you getting from video?
From an outside perspective, no, you're not getting anything. But yeah, from yourself, you are. You know, it's something you enjoy. It's something that you like doing. In reality, yeah, you're wasting your time, but it's not a waste of time to you. And that's all that really matters. So to me, the way I see it is, he's not wrong. But who the fuck cares? It's your time. Do with it with what you will. You know, if you want to spend your money on cars, on Yu-Gi-Oh cards, on Magic cards, if you want to spend your money on that, that's your damn money. You get to go do with it what you will. It doesn't matter if you're spending money on a piece of cardboard and ink. That's your choice. So, I mean, I don't see what the point of getting upset is, you know.
Curtis, what do you think?
I agree with Jake. I mean, like, you know, and Emma, it's a hobby, you know, and it's not like everybody that goes and practices jiu-jitsu is even going to open, you know, their own dojo or, you know, or their own business from it. So, you know, to approximate that, you know, if you do some sort of martial art for 3 years versus playing video games for 3 years, that you're not going to get anywhere. What if that person that started off playing this video game fell in love with it and then, you know, started, you know, developing video games and then makes a little indie successful one. And from there it blew up and got really big. And now they're the CEO of the new hot upstart for this new gaming company. I would say that that's accomplishing something and pretty successful, especially now if you're in a position to, you know, be philanthropic and, you know, start, you know, assisting, you know, other areas of your community with, you know, with this revenue that you've amassed from your turning your love of a video game into something else. But let's say you don't do either of those. And let's say that, you know, you playing a video game like a younger kid, you know, kept them away from a gang. You know, it gave them something constructive to do with their time as opposed to that. So I understand what Joe Rogan is saying. I didn't personally get all up in arms. I mean, he definitely identified part of the reason why, you know, video games, because it is true, there's video game addiction. There's all sorts of addictions. But ultimately, like we're all saying, it's what we choose to do with our time. There's a lot worse things you could be doing.
Oh yeah,
than playing video games. And fact of the matter is, Joe Rogan just—that's how he felt. But I don't think that was the—that's not the smartest observation that Joe Rogan has ever made about video games.
Joe Rogan puts out in defense of him in a little bit. Like, he puts out a lot of content, and he's a human being that has bad takes on things. Like, what those are, you can debate against. This was a bad take from Joe, and a lot of people were defending him, saying things like, you know, he said himself he puts a lot of hours into Quake, and he has for many, many years. But that doesn't necessarily give him the end-all, be-all authority to make those types of observations, because, like, he's a guy, and all of us are multifaceted people. We have multiple hobbies. And some of those hobbies you do take seriously and can build your skills and things. And then I have hobbies that are worse productive than video games, like watching trash reality TV. I put so much hours into that. It's not my passion by any means, but it's something I do to connect with my wife. It's a time waster. I know I'm not going to get famous for or rich and powerful and money because I know, you know, all the names of the characters from 90 Day Fiancé. You know, there's no...
I love their characters.
they're characters, Emma. You gotta watch it. So, like, some of your hobbies that you have are throwaway hobbies. For Joe Rogan, video gaming is a throwaway hobby. It's a turn off your brain and just click heads thing, and he's not going to go anywhere with it because he doesn't feel like that's his calling. Much like, you know, for me, it would be reality TV shows. So I think he was just saying stupid things, probably trying to get a laugh from whoever his guest was, and then people latch onto it. Because right now, if you have an opinion on anything or something gets taken out of context and it gets retweeted by the right person, you're just going to get tons of uproar. And this was just one of those moments. My favorite take was, again, I happen to like Joe Rogan's stuff. I don't agree with all of his takes. But if you really want to flame him or like try, because there was people out there taking this way too seriously and attacking him personally, there's tons of other issues or things you could look into that he said in his past that give you a great better argument than to try and take this guy down because he said some stupid things about video games. Like, there's a lot of more important issues going on right now. So, yeah, I think that's all to say about that. Thanks for guys humoring me on that one. Let's get back to the news. We got another look at the Avengers game that's coming out. It's a Ubisoft or Square? I can't even remember.
Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics, I believe.
That's right. And they did a trailer for a brand new character. They did Hawkeye, and we watched it right before the show. Emma, how are you feeling? Because you're really excited about this one.
I am. I'm ready for this game. I got to play it at Comic-Con, and like ever since then, I was like, all right, like I'm ready for this game. I will buy this. I will play this. I'm excited for Hawkeye. I was kind of curious the whole time. I was like, it's weird that he's the only MCU Avenger. It's just him and Captain Marvel are the only ones that are not in this, and he's like the OG MCU Avenger that wasn't in it. So it was gonna be weird if he was the only one not included. So I'm hoping that they're gonna announce Captain Marvel next. That would be great. Yeah, Jake raised his hand.
You raised your hand.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay. Yes, you may.
Is this game out yet?
September 4th.
Okay, so it's not out yet.
It's not out.
Because last time I thought Spyro wasn't out yet, and it turns out that it has been out for months. So
it's been out for like a year and a half.
Yeah, it was much longer than a month.
A lot of months.
I've been in college, all right? I haven't had time for video games.
All right.
Give me a break.
All right, flex.
But it looks interesting. I know a lot of the comparisons were apparently to Stephen Amell. Everybody was like, "Oh, they just got the Arrow guy to do him." I don't know if I'm blind, but I don't see that. I really don't. I was like, it's just a generic white guy with a buzz cut.
I thought he was bald.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was my critique, is that he lacked personality. I thought it was just kind of like how we said before that, you know, the MCU, I wanted them to like make them more cartoony or comic booky. And this feels like they just kind of took raw generic, you know, versions of all the Avengers.
The concept art for Hawkeye looks really good. And I'm hoping it's a skin because it's basically the Matt Faction Hawkeye, complete with like, he's got hearing aids in, like, it looks like they just pulled him off the comic book page. And I'm really hoping that is available in the game. But they did say that they took a lot of inspiration from that Matt Faction run. So I'm hoping that this is going to have high hopes for it. They've said that he has his own story missions. I believe he's going to be a post-launch release. I don't think he's available at launch. But he's going to have his own story missions that are playable either solo or co-op. Okay. And then he's like they're introducing a new villain, or like a new for the game. They're introducing like he's got his own villain that's going to be a part of it. So they're putting some work into him.
All right. He's like one of the more fun characters I would imagine for a video game that I don't think has gotten his time to shine. Like, going back to Far Cry, I spent the whole first half of Far Cry 5 using just a bow and arrow because it felt
anytime the game has a bow and arrow, like, I'm fucking sold.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially like when Hanzo, for example, I remember whenever we first showed Overwatch, I remember seeing bow and arrow guy insta lock.
Hanzo was the first character I ever played in Overwatch.
Yeah, there's something just gratifying about bow and arrows in video games. So hopefully they pull this one off and it's fun. Next news story we got here, G4 and Attack of the Show. They released kind of a surprise to the world on Twitter where they put out like a campaign where they said basically, you know, we never stop gaming was like their campaign slogan, and that teasing a big comeback.
We not talk about this? Wasn't this like 3 weeks ago?
No, this is recent.
I think at the time we just kind of mentioned it because it was just a...
G4 is one of those things I know for sure 100 times through the course of this show's history. We've talked about G4, what if it came back, or, you know, was it ahead of its time? We've talked about G4 a lot. These tweets just came out like 2 days ago, the actual confirmations. I think
we saw the rumor is what we saw and we talked about, so we didn't know for sure if it was coming back or not.
But what are your guys's, does this bring back? I'll start. Honestly, I did not feel that huge rush of like, oh my God, it's coming back. Like, I loved G4 back in the day. I watched all the shows, but I don't know. I felt like I built it up in my head. And then now that we're actually getting it, I'm not super hyped. What about you guys?
I was really excited when we heard that G4 was coming back because I loved X-Play. I watched X-Play all the fucking time. But mm-hmm. not, like, just right now it occurs to me, is there room for a show like X-Play to have a budget as big as TV shows have when YouTube exists?
Mm-hmm.
When the world of YouTube content creators and reviewers are already out there for free at your fingertips on your computer.
Yeah. I have the same fears. It seems like the whole adding TV production to something is going to make it take too long. And the information in gaming is like already just so ahead. Like, you're just, everything's just leaks on leaks. And so unless you're covering every single thing or really have, you know, the latest hands-on new release for gameplay for games all the time, I just don't see like a super need for it. I feel like we kind of, like, maybe it was ahead of its time, but now it might be a little too late. Curtis, what do you think, man?
That's how I, like, my first thought was, oh, wow, G4. And, oh, man. You know, like, I had that hit of nostalgia. And then immediately after that, I was like, this is kind of a step backwards, though, ain't it? Like we see ESPN and different, you know, like TBS and stuff starting to finally cover gaming and esports. They were, you know, more of ahead of the game and all that stuff. Like, to go away and come back now, I'm like I get it. I see that, like, oh, okay, all this stuff is getting more coverage. So, you know, let's go back to being, you know, a cable-based studio where we can provide that content. But like Emma said, I'm like, but you can, you know, for whatever you're into, and even if it's super niche, you can just go on YouTube and find it, and you got people putting that stuff up, like, you know, around the clock. I just don't know if it's going to be that profitable for them and their audience, who you know, who I believe to be their audience, who would be looking for that stuff. Most of them aren't looking for it within a cable package. They are going online and just trying to find the content online. So I don't know if there's going to be like, and then also you think about the years that has gone by since they've gone away and then now coming back around, you know, more of us are older now, maybe have a little bit more income to play with than we did before. I just don't think that's where we're going to be putting our money to support that. So I hate to say it, but I don't see it being successful. I don't see it lasting too long, and I feel like they'd be better off trying to do like a Nerdist type thing and compete in that market where, you know, it's a little more budget friendly and you can try to make it last longer and throw out all your different content to see what sticks than going into cable. Because that's, like, you know, to Emma's point, you got to have a big budget. That's a lot of money.
Emma, you said that you were a big X-Play fan. What would you still be a fan, like, of X-Play if they didn't have Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb?
Yeah, I think because, I mean, they were great, but the concept of X-Play is something that can definitely be done with other people. And didn't Adam Sessler, like, not leave G4 on the greatest of terms and, like, would not probably be up for coming back?
Yeah, I don't anticipate him coming back. And to me, those two personalities together made that show. Like, I think the format
they did, but I think that can be replicated.
No, you can't replicate that.
That's what every late night show does. You have the same host for 15, 20 years, and then they get a new host. And everybody goes, oh my God, it's not going to be the same. And then they have massive ratings for the next 10, 15, 20 years, and then they do it all over again.
I'm just not ready to evolve past 4 out of 5. Like, the delivery from X-Play was so X-Play. Like, they have to bring every detail back. Otherwise, I'm just going to see it and go like, ah, the old one was better. Screw this.
Well, it might not be for you, Corey. It might be for the new generation. For you.
That's very true. That's what we have to be ready for.
It's gonna be all Fortnite. For me, though, because they're playing off my nostalgias. We'll see how this thing shapes up. A lot to come on that. And then here's the big story, though. This is the one you've all been waiting for, the main event, the Mike Tyson of news stories here. Emma, Halo. They put out a tweet today that says, Halo is for everyone. We can confirm that hashtag Halo Infinite, hash flag Master Chief Helmet multiplayer is free to play and will support 120 frames per second on the Xbox Series X. More details will be shared later. Hallelujah! The game is saved.
Are we gonna go right past Corey saying hash flag?
That's what it's called. That is what it's called. Why would you get mad at me for saying hash flag?
Anyway, that just makes sense. Like, just having a free-to-play multiplayer just makes sense. I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about that.
Shouldn't you be excited that your game is saved? This is the details that they should have. Like, this is so fresh. This is the only frustrating part. I love it. And I think, you know, it's great. I think this is going to really, really help the game and its esports scene. But why put that out on a tweet on a random Friday, you know, July?
It's a very 30th. Solid point.
Why couldn't you put that in your stage show? Can you imagine how many more points you would have scored of excitement and hype when this thing was blowing up, like your main moment? What was different 4 days ago, 5 days ago than from today?
Do you think maybe it wasn't plan? Do you think maybe they weren't thinking of doing that until they got such a negative reaction from parts of the internet?
Possibly, which still is on them as a mistake, because they should have known. Like, it's when you're in a fight for your life, you don't do the video or the movie thing where you save your best power up move for the end. You always start strong and just try and knock your opponent's head off. And they didn't do that. If they had beautiful little nuggets like this, and they're like, okay, we're just going to give them this, and then we're going to trickle feed out these little details because they're going to be eating out of the palm of our hands. That's not the way it works. Like, you are at a deficit. PlayStation.
So Taylor in chat is saying that it got leaked, and that's why they had to make a statement saying that people leaked that it would be free to play multiplayer. So maybe it was supposed to be an announcement for their later show that they're going to have. So maybe it was supposed to be saved for, you know, whenever they're going to announce the pricing and the release date of the One X, the Series X, and then they just had to come out with it now.
I'm praying to God that that's not true. Like, it's probably true because it came from Taylor. However, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign that your marketing and your team is like awake at the wheel. If that's your strategy, like, this needs to be way more oiled up, and it may even be possible that because of the backlash, it wasn't going to be free to play and they're making it free to play now. Like, that's even worse if they're making these kind of decisions out of panic and not out of being concise and making good calls for this franchise, and they're just trying to do what makes people happy. It was the right move in this case. I just think this announcement was extremely weak and mistimed. But it seems to be a trend, though, because Overwatch 2 is doing pretty much the same thing. You know, they talked about that. If you own Overwatch 1, you have that multiplayer, that's going to be the same pool from Overwatch. So it's not quite the same, but it is in a way. Like, you're not selling multiplayer with Overwatch 2. Wasn't there another game too? Oh, Rocket League. Rocket League a week ago just announced that it was going free to play as well. And I think for esports, this is really important because it's sort of like, you know, if you're trying to make your sport popular in a way, like basketball, for example, like if you're trying to make that a popular sport and you're the Sacramento Kings, you're going to want to put basketball, recreational basketball courts up in your city so that kids can go and play and practice with their friends. You know, it's universal. You know, the barrier to entry is a ball. And for esports, if you have like a very complicated pay structure and your game is hard to get and you have to pay $60 and all this crazy stuff to stay up on it, you're immediately slashing your potential player base and stars and people interested in your game like in half. League of Legends, I think, has always been so popular because of that free-to-play model. And so I think Halo doing this means that they really care about their esports scene more than just casual multiplayer, you know, just playing with your friends. Emma, your final thoughts on this? Any other things you've heard about Halo or just free to play in general?
I mean, Halo, it's not like they've never had a big esports scene. Like they had a pretty solid esports scene for a while there before other things took over. And I think this is their way of getting back into the game. It's the easiest way to get back into the game is you just remove the barrier to entry. Like you said, like that's it. You know, it's available to everybody that has the console. So I think that's great. I think anything that's going to help, anything like that that's going to help this game succeed and give them more money so they can give me more Halo is exciting.
It's kind of a lot of people are really hoping that Microsoft doesn't screw up the esports on this game, because you're right. Back in the day, there was a very, very like thriving, it felt more grassrootsy back then because, you know, that's just the time. And a lot of like huge talents came out of that. Golden Boy, who's like one of the best casters now on a show on NBC with The Rock, you know, started in the Halo scene. Ninja started in the Halo scene. So like it's a very storied franchise for esports, and people want to see it come back, but they've just kicked it like the redheaded stepchild dog that you didn't want. Like, I think it was as recent of like the last 4 or 5 years ago or something, they had, I'll drop it into our Discord. And if you just want to look it up at home, just Google, Halo esports balloons. And that's all you need to see. But basically it was like a major event, like Microsoft backed Halo World Championship, that looked like it was taking place in an elementary school, and it had like these sad, pathetic little balloons sitting on the lawn in front.
That's fucking incredible. I'm looking at the picture you just sent. That's amazing.
Empty like little bleachers. Like this thing was terrible. It has an, look at that. It has the 343 logos on there, the ESL logos, which that's a huge esports organization for like Counter-Strike. Like it was just kind of a joke. And when people saw that picture and when it went viral, it was just a sad, sad state of affairs. So they haven't had the best track.
They had a red carpet.
Yeah, look at, there's a little, is that even carpet? Like, you don't even know, dude. That's AstroTurf.
Yeah.
The gear scene, like they haven't been doing a good job taking care of that. So they're going to have to throw a lot of money. They're going to have to really hire the best in the esports business. To get that thing back off the ground, because it could get ugly. Sweet. One more news story, guys. One more, and then
God, what is this gonna be?
This one is gonna be good, Emma Skies, because you, a budding TikTok star, you better grind your TikTok fame the next 24 hours, because Donald Trump is coming for you. He threatened on Twitter just within the last couple hours that he's going to shut down TikTok in the United States via executive order for their shenanigans. Educated on the issues, aren't completely sure what he has against TikTok. I think it has to do with them stealing data and information, Emma, but you know what's up. Tell us what's going on.
I mean, it's the idea of all of these social apps that just take so much of your data and sell it. Like, when none of these apps are free is the important thing. Your TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, not one of these apps is free. You're just not paying for it with money. So it's the same concept really as Facebook stealing all your data, except Facebook's an American company and TikTok's a Chinese company, and they don't like that. There's also, you know, always been a big thing about Chinese intellectual property theft, and Trump's kind of getting on that train pretty recently and trying to get like very tough on that. I don't care about anything. I don't care about anything this man says, because everything he says is meaningless. So if it happens, it happens. We will all get VPNs on our phones. nobody gives a shit about anything this guy says anymore, for the love of God.
I think people are giving him too much credit in thinking he cares about them selling our information to China. That's just his excuse. His real reason is when they fucked up his Tulsa rally. I'd never heard him even mention.
Hilarious.
I swear to you, I'm the conspiracy theorist in me says that that was the day he set to destroy TikTok, when they trolled him for his Tulsa rally. And you see him when he's walking off the helicopter with his tie all undone, all defeated. That's what he's thinking in his head. How am I going to fuck this thing up? And
absolutely incredible.
Bill Gates is trying to bail us out. It seems like Microsoft is trying to jump in and purchase TikTok, which, I mean, if you want to kill TikTok, that's what you do. You let Microsoft buy it and let them run it into the ground with their track.
Maybe you'll be able to get TikTok on your Zune.
Oh, wow. Actually, that was a low blow. Very low blow. I don't know.
Not as low as the Zune sales.
Emma, why do you do this to me? Like, why the fuck? Jake, you're a political mind. What do you think about the president trying to take down TikTok?
Well, from what I've heard, it's that it's not that necessarily that they're taking your data. It's that they're taking the data of children, from what I heard.
So is Facebook.
And, yeah.
Well, but, does TikTok have a minimum age requirement when you log on there? Because I know at least Facebook, there's like rules that you can break, but there's rules where you're not supposed to have it if you're under a certain age. Is there anything like that on TikTok, or are you able to be?
It's
like
13.
Okay. Is that the same as Facebook?
Yeah, it's pretty much standard. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. Mm-hmm. I think they're all about 13 years old.
Okay. But then what are they doing, Jake? They're taking the kids' data and doing what?
And then there's also been conspiracies that doing Chinese propaganda will surge your TikTok views. Like, if you show anything that like supports the Chinese government, then people's views will just start shooting up or something like that. And there's also ones, I guess, if you criticize the Chinese government, then they'll start taking down or they'll censor it. I don't know how much of that's true.
I mean, that kind of stuff is pretty standard for Chinese social media in China.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that is outside of China, but in China, yeah, they definitely, like, they do that. That their internet is entirely censored.
Overall, what do you guys think of the U.S. banning TikTok? Do you think it's valid based off the reasons, or do you think it's just like a vendetta against? Because Emma, you're woke enough, like but you have a TikTok and you know that they're taking your data and, you know, siphoning it off to China, yet you still have it. Would you advocate to keep it up? And do you think people should be getting TikTok, or do you think or do you agree with the president in getting rid of it?
I think if you have a Facebook account, there's no reason you shouldn't have a TikTok account. It's the same thing, just from a different country. I don't care. I just literally cannot bring myself to give a shit about anything this man says.
Interesting. Interesting. So you agree with the president, though?
I don't care.
Oh, I just want you to agree with Trump on something. Curtis, what do you think? I mean, you don't strike me as a TikToker so much, but so you're kind of looking at this from the outside. Do you think it's a good move to try and get rid of it, or at least get it under control?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really care about it, honestly. I mean, it's like, if TikTok went away, I wouldn't be so threatened or offended as someone who doesn't use it a lot. Like, every now and then I'll go and, like, you know, if something comes up, I'll happen to view the video or whatever, but I don't know, man. Like, but I mean I like what Emma said, you know, like, if TikTok's a problem, you know, Facebook's a problem just as much, if not more. You know, I know that they just had that hearing where they had, you know,
that's
a bunch
too.
Of tech companies and their CEOs and stuff, you know,
like, they're not under fire.
Yeah, you know, I mean, or at least not as much under fire. I think that that is probably part of the thing. You know, Trump feels like worst come to worst, he could probably make some of those companies do something, or at least they're within his area of jurisdiction. And, you know, for TikTok, he would just have to cut off the pipeline. But I don't know. I will say this. He's barked so much about gonna do something about this and gonna do something about that, an executive order this, an executive order that. Half time, he don't even know what he can and can't do. And then people from his group gotta remind him, I know you're the president, but you can't do that.
He literally did that 2 days ago. It was like, I don't know, maybe we should delay the election. It was like, you can't do that. You literally legally cannot do that by yourself.
You know, also too, we're talking about Chinese companies. Huawei is another one that's under fire too. But it's not just the United States that's thinking about banning them. The UK and several other countries are thinking about banning Huawei, and that's a cell phone company. The very same reason, spying and having foreign technology in your country. So I mean, There are two different companies, but one seems to be valid if you have other countries, not just America, thinking about banning it. No?
Well, Huawei is building infrastructure in other countries, which is what they're being banned from. So, like, the UK, I believe, banned them from building infrastructure in their country. I think Canada may have or talked about doing the same thing.
It's all the same thing. The structure is there for data.
Correct.
And it's just having access to that data.
Strange times.
And also, just one last thing. Also, too, you know, you have the Chinese consulate being shut down also.
Well, if it really is the end of TikTok, it was a hell of a run, guys. I think the TikTok Zoomer generation earned my respect just in their sheer tenacity in grouping up to make Dogecoin a thing. They've just changed the culture, ruining political rallies. Like, I love the TikTok generation, and it'll just be like a roadblock. I feel like they'll move on to Byte or something, that other, you know, short form video, or Microsoft buys it, and it might be the one thing they do that doesn't fail. Who knows? But we will see. Thanks, everybody, so much for listening to the podcast this week. As always, let us know what you thought by rating the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Podboom, BabyPod, all those podcasting websites. We are there and appreciate those subscriptions. Emma Skies, when can people expect to see you streaming?
I am trying to stick to the Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 4 p.m. So generally around those times.
All right. What have you been playing? Are you going to be playing more Grounded?
I might do a little more Grounded. I just started Halo ODST again. I'm finishing up the Outer Worlds, and then I'm going to start up something.
Maybe Far Cry New Dawn?
Perhaps.
So only $9 on the Epic Game Store. Jake, Ego Brain, on top of being able to interact with you on the VGB Facebook, where else can people... Were you streaming for a minute? Weren't you starting to get into like GTA role-playing streams?
I was going to. I just started a new job, and life is happening right now. So I haven't really had much time to focus on streaming, but once things start to stabilize, I really am going to try to make it a regular thing. But tomorrow, I got to put a CV axle in a car, and I just dropped a full 100 on wheels, so I'm...
All right.
I haven't been able to focus right now.
Don't flex on everybody, all right? Man, yeah. Like, we know what a CV axle is. Jeez, nerd.
Hey, that's one of my hobbies.
Curtis Fisher, man, what you been doing? I'm sure you're kicking back up into gear with your podcast now that NBA is back. Where can people catch all your latest and greatest, those hot takes on the NBA?
Man, hot takes are coming. Definitely going to kick it back up. Check out Sacktown Breakdown, especially on Twitch. Twitch.tv/TheSacktownBreakdown. I'll be doing a breakdown on there, on YouTube as well. It should be up by tomorrow morning. And I think on Sunday I'll be doing a podcast because me and my man Tap have pretty much shut things down when Corona started. But we'll do like a little recap of what had happened since last time, and we'll also be talking about the Kingsguard on there as well. So yeah, check that out. And y'all might see me streaming some regular stuff too. I've behind the scenes, I've been gaming on some 2K, and I've been playing that the better Avengers game, the better Marvel game. I'm in Alliance 3, so let's I beat go. The story mode. I had already purchased the DLC for Fantastic Four, so y'all might see me stream that here soon.
Dope. And my last thing would be just congratulations to the Energy Esports family. They hit a huge milestone this month for July in being the most viewed team on Twitch. So if you guys see like at the bottom of our stream, it says Energy Esports. We contributed to that number, guys. We are a part of history. When Video Game Bang said, here's 13 extra viewers to hit that little goal. Yeah. And Energy Esports was the most viewed. They had like 19 billion minutes viewed. And this isn't just against other esports organizations. Like, this isn't just against TSM, 100 Thieves, FaZe, and all that. It was actually against like Riot Games and all of the major esports, you know, companies and everyone, out of everybody on Twitch. So big congratulations to my family over there. Lots of celebrations to be had, a lot more milestones to be hit. And thank you guys for listening to this show, watching it live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang and helping make history. This podcast made history yet again. So thank you. All I could say is thank you. For Emma Skies, Curtis Fisher, Jacob, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.